Well, good morning. How are you guys doing? Oh, that's good. Hey, whoever's in the back right now, I love you. Hey, my name is Kevin Valentine. I'm the lead pastor here for those of you that are new or joining us online for the first time. And we are in a series called God, Just Tell Me. And it is adapted from a series from Life Church and Craig Rochelle. We just love how they kind of package this. And in this series, we're talking about God's will. Have you ever had a decision to make? And you like, you pray about it, you read God's word, you get wise counsel, and you still don't know what to do? Anybody ever experienced that? You're like, man, I'm trying hard here. And you kind of want to say, God, can you just make this obvious, please? Can you like send me an email, text, anything? Can you just talk? Can you just say, Kevin, take the job? Like, that would be so nice, right? 30-year-old Kevin, invest in Apple stock now. Yeah, that would have been great, right? 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Just be great. Dear Chris, three rows in front of you, Brendette, she's the one. Like, that would be so good, right? Wouldn't it be good? If God would just do that. But God doesn't always work that way. And so we make decisions. Sometimes those decisions turn out great. Other times, we wish we would have known better, right? And you guys remember, if you're my age, maybe a little younger, you guys remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books? Anybody remember those? And so basically, they were books that were written like this. You would get to a point in the story, and it would give you an option. And it would basically go like this. It's like if you show up and you're standing in front of a haunted house. If you choose to go into the house because you're an idiot, turn to page 57. If you run away from the house, turn to page 33. And I'm like in there, I've got my fingers in the book because I want to know what every option gives me. I just want to know where they all lead because it'd be really nice to know the outcome of whatever decision I make. Wouldn't it be nice if you could know the outcome of a decision before you made it? Like, that would be fantastic. Well, as we're learning in this series, God's will doesn't work that way. But there is a way to know what God wants you to do. There is a way to know something that God has specifically for you. There is a way to know what God wants you to do. That's what this series is about. And that's what we're talking about. And I'll just tell you this. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I just want to say this to you. Your Creator God, even though you don't know Him yet, has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He knows what it is. He knows why you were created. And He wants to share that with you. And getting to that point in your life starts with getting to know Him. So you're going to get an opportunity to do that later on in the day. But before we jump any further, I want to pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the fact that you want to speak to every single one of us right now. I thank you, God, that you are actively seeking to speak to those who are listening. So, Father, will you open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our souls to your voice, your still small voice? Would you impress upon us your truth today? And would you speak through me? Lord, I don't have anything to give this room, but you sure do. And I just want to be your mouthpiece. So, God, would you speak through me to all of us as we seek to learn about you and follow you? In your holy name, amen. So, let's review where we've been. Week one, we talked about the different aspects of God's will. We talked about God's sovereign will. It is His unchangeable, unstoppable plan for the universe. It is His big plan. It is going to happen because it's His sovereign will. We talked about God's moral will, how we live, which is revealed in His word. It's basically God has called us to live a holy life. And so to live in the middle of God's moral will, it's a call to holiness and doing things God's way. Then there's God's permissive will, which is where God has just given us a choice to follow Him or not. We have the freedom, even when we don't choose wisely, to make that choice. For there to be a relationship with God, for us to be able to love Him and Him to love us, there must be a choice for that to be made. So God has given us all a choice. It's His permissive will that allows us, when we choose to not go God's way, that allows a lot of the evil and hurt in this world that comes from other people, which I would say most of it comes from other people, because they're choosing their own will over God's, and that is just God's permissive will, things that He allows to happen. And then there's God's personal will, His unique calling on your life. Before you were even born, God prepared good works for you to do when you showed up on this planet. We call that having a calling on your life. You have a calling on your life, and God has a specific calling for you. Finding that starts with two things. Week one, it's not about just uncovering his plan. It's about getting to know his heart. The more you get to know God's heart and you get to know God, the easier it will be to trust him as he reveals his plans for you and give you the strength and the faith to actually follow him down the path he has for you. That's the first way, because when we trust God's heart, we can trust his guidance. And then Clint last week did a great job, and he just said this, said before God's concerned about what you do, he cares about who you are. He wants you to be developed, your heart, your character. He wants you to become like Jesus. And so if you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to know God's will for your tomorrow, then the best thing you can do is live faithfully today. Like, you want to know what God wants you to do tomorrow? Do what he's already asked you to do today. Live a faithful life. Love him. Get to know him. Get to know his heart. All of this series is geared towards getting you to just this sweet spot in life that I have discovered through following Jesus and have experienced this. And I know hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have experienced the same. If you want to win and you want your family to win with Jesus, that means stepping into the calling and plan that God has for you and your family. You want to find a sweet spot in your life. You find out what God wants you to do and you go do it. Because when you're there, you know who you are. You know whose you are. You know what you're on this planet for. And you're doing it. And let me just tell you, when you know who you are, because your identity is rooted in Jesus Christ, and you know whose you are, that he's got his arms wrapped around you and that he loves you and there's nothing that can change his heart about you, and you figure out what God wants you to do and then you go do it, it is indescribable joy when you're in that sweet spot. And I want that for every single one of you. God wants that for every single one of you and your family. And maybe you think, well, I don't know if God has a plan for me specifically. God's word would beg to differ. 1 Corinthians 12 tells each of us that you're specially appointed, you're gifted uniquely by God, and there's a ministry for you. Every believer has one. And God wants to reveal it to you, guide you to it, help you fulfill your purpose. So today we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul. He lived out his unique and specific purpose in Christ. And we're going to see some of the ways that God guided him towards his calling. Because it's the same way that God's going to guide you towards your calling. If you don't know Paul, outside of Jesus, he's arguably the most Spirit-led person, one of the most Spirit-led people in the New Testament. He went from persecuting Christians to being radically transformed by Jesus, and then he went on to perform miracles, plant churches across the Roman Empire, wrote nearly half of the New Testament, all came from this guy named Paul. Listen to how he speaks about his calling. Romans 15. He says, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. Verse 17, in Christ Jesus then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. Verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Verse 19, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named. Verse 22, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. Now, what do we need to notice in all of these verses? The extremely personal way that Paul talks about his ministry and his calling. It's personal. It's not general, it's personal. Paul felt like something personal had been given to him, something unique and something specific for him to do. And let me just tell you, there's lots of things to do in the kingdom of God. But for Paul, he received something specific from God as his personal calling to preach the gospel where it had never been heard before. And because Paul said yes to that calling, the gospel spread to Rome and eventually spread to the West. Here, you and I are sitting in a church because of Paul's yes to the calling that God placed on his life to take the gospel of Jesus outside of the Jews and Israel to the rest of the known world. That's where Paul was called to go and fulfill his purpose on earth. Now, what's the gospel? The gospel, of course, is Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and all somebody has to do to be saved and be made right with God is believe that and receive that. That's it. Paul went all over the place. All over everywhere, telling people, hey, here's the gospel. All you got to do is believe it and receive it, and you will be made right with God. And people all over the place heard it, believed it, and received it. Just like there will be people who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ because of your yes to your calling. There will be people whose eternity is transformed along with their life this side of heaven because of your yes. Because if you're a Christian, you have a calling on your life. What is that calling? To leverage your life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. To take your time, your talents, your treasure, your ambitions, your hopes, your dreams. Leverage who you are. This is the calling that you, when you accepted Jesus, you accepted this calling. It is leverage your life for the gospel. Leverage your life to communicate the Great Commission to the world. That's included in the call to follow Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. What is he saying? He's like, hey, when you accepted the call to follow Jesus, you accepted missions as part of your calling because you are to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, everywhere you go, as you go. Matthew 28:18 tells us that we're to go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't matter where you're at, where you find yourself, you need to be telling somebody about Jesus Christ with your life and the way that you treat them. And because Jesus, he said that to his disciples, his followers. He didn't say it to the church. He didn't say it to an institution. He said it to a ragtag group of people that loved him enough to just go out and do it. So the question is not if you are called, it is where and how. If you're a follower of Jesus, not if you're called, you are. It's just where are you called and how are you going to fulfill what God has called you to do. A lot of people, we're waiting for a detailed plan, right? We're like, hey, We need to know, we need the details, we need the bullet points, we need to know this and this and this and this. Well, guess what? You have already been given a clear mission. If you know the details, you've already got a mission. It's to share the gospel and make disciples. Now, the Spirit of God will guide you to your specific part of the mission. Like I said, not everything in the kingdom is for you, but something is. Like for me, leading a women's Bible study, not for me to do. Okay? Just not going to do that. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent with you. Working in kids ministry, not for me to do. Like, I love kids. I just don't love other people's kids as much as I love my own. Okay? But I still love kids. But it's like, that's not a ministry that I feel like I would be successful at, especially not in the baby category because they're just so little and you can break them and stuff. I did not hold a baby until I held my son, Garrett. Like, I was afraid of them, okay? God had to get me over that. But here's what I know. I believe that during this series, as we discuss and pray and listen, that God's going to, if he hasn't already, he's going to put a particular ministry on your heart here at Crossline that he wants you to be a part of. Or he's going to put a group of people in your workplace that he's going to give you a heart for because they need Jesus. Or he's going to give you an organization or a ministry that just helps people around the world like our partner in Nicaragua. And he's going to put that thing, that place, those people, that serving opportunity on your heart. He's going to open your heart and your desires to get involved and to serve him. And my hope is that you will respond and take that step, whatever that is. Because what you find is like as you we want to trust God with the big things. Well, you don't learn to trust God with the big things by waiting until a big thing comes along to trust him with. There's a process. It's like a little bit of the journey at a time. You trust him in the small things. Hey, get involved. Help at the church. I can do that. Let me take a step. Hey, you need to get baptized. You haven't got baptized yet. Let me take that step. Hey, you need to take a couple classes and learn more about me. I'll take that step. Hey, you have a heart for kids. I think you might need to start working with kids ministry. I'll take that step. Hey, I want to move you across the country to serve me. You don't do that and that's your first opportunity to follow God. You do that after 20 steps, small ways. You've just trusted him and he's shown up and he's done what only he can do. So part of this series is if you're not taking small steps right now, start taking them. And part of this series is there's going to come a point where there's a big step. And God's going to want to trust you with a lot. Could be right where you're at, but he wants you to take some responsibility for ministry, for leading people. And it's like, what are you going to do? Well, if you've been following him and taking the steps and trusting him and he's been showing up, it's going to be a lot easier of a yes than if you just wait for the big stuff. So what I want to do is I want to get really practical. When you look at Paul's life, you're going to see that when he was following God and he was trying to figure out what was next, God kind of spoke to him in three different ways that we're going to look at today. There's more than this, but we're going to look at three through Paul's journey. And we're going to see that those three are up on the screen. He led Paul through open doors, through closed doors, and through everyday choices. And we're going to talk about each one at a time. So let's start with the first one. We see God lead Paul through open doors. Let me give you an example. During Paul's third missionary journey, this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 16. He said, "But I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost." Why? "Because a great door for effective work has opened for me, and there are many who oppose me." So we're going to pause there for a second. Wait, God opened a door and there was opposition. Yes, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, why did Paul stay? It wasn't because an angel told him to. He didn't have a crazy dream or fall into a trance and God told him exactly what to do. It wasn't like a prophetic word or an angel showed up and told him. It was just a wide open door. It's a clear opportunity that Paul's like, "I can't say no to this wide open door of opportunity to be a part of furthering God's kingdom." And Paul stepped into it. Chances are you have the same kind of a story, kind of your own version of this. You weren't looking for a job, but suddenly one showed up and it fit your gifts, your passions, maybe even paid better. And the door just opened up. Or you start thinking, "I want to make a difference." And you come to church and you hear maybe God is calling some of you to get into ministry and serve here at Crossline. Maybe even Crossline Kids. God is calling some of you to step in and serve him and help build his church through serving. And I'll just tell you right now, because honestly, most of the time when God kind of prompts us, we're responding to a need. We have a need for volunteers right now in our kids' ministry. We just do. We have a handful of spots that we just would really love some help. And we believe that God is going to tap some of you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, this is your next step." And if God's calling you to do that, I'll tell you what to do after this service. With tech needs. We've got some people on our tech team. We could use some help there. We've got a few spots that we just need somebody to step up and say, "I'll be a part of the team, be a part of the life and family of this church to help move things along." But that could be an open for you. Maybe God's got an open door inviting you to jump right in. This is your open door right now. For some of you, your next step could be getting baptized in a few weeks. It could be giving financially for the first time. It could be saying, "Hey, I want to lead a, I want to lead a class. I want to lead a ministry. I need to jump in and do a huddle at my home." It could be serving in a ministry outside of Crossline and doing something there. God's got a next step for you. He's got an open door. But I will just tell you this: for following God through open doors is how I ended up doing what I do right now. I guess it's just open door after open door. In college, I was on a golf scholarship to Oakland University. That was my future. I wanted to play golf. I found this great church to go to and just started serving. Like, they invited me and I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." Start on the tech team. Well, a little bit while later, I wanted to serve in the high school ministry. Kind of like taking that next step in student ministry. And I wanted to serve in the high school ministry because all my friends served there and it seemed really fun. Well, I go meet with the youth pastor at the time and he's like, "I don't have a need for anybody in high school ministry. Where I really have a need is in middle school ministry." And I was like, "Oh." Because it's middle school students, man. It's like, they're crazy. But I'm like, I said I wanted to serve, and that was the open door. So I took the open door. I started serving in middle school ministry, and I kind of liked it. Like, it wasn't that bad. Even though they smelled kind of funky, it wasn't that bad. I'm just kidding. But I'm serving in middle school ministry. A few months in, one night the speaker can't make it. The guy who's leading the ministry, he calls me at 5 o'clock. He's like, "Hey, I can't talk. I'm sick. And it's on Lazarus. You gotta talk." And he hangs up the phone. I can't even like fight back. He's like, "It's yours." And I'm freaking out. I've never spoken in front of people, not interested in speaking in front of people. Like legitimately, I might need to change underwear a couple times that day in the next 2 hours. But I did it. I'm like, "Okay, God," I opened up my Bible, figured out what to do, and I did it, and I spoke, and it went well. And then a few months later, they needed me to do it again, so I did it again. And I find myself at 20 years old, suddenly I'm teaching God's word and the gospel and the Bible to a bunch of middle school students, and they're actually listening, and they're laughing at my jokes. That's why my humor has never made it out of middle school, kind of like stuck there. After about a year doing that, another door opened. The leaders of the high school ministry came to me and said, "Hey, we would really like for you to lead the high school ministry, like as a volunteer. You're doing a great job with the middle school, and then we now have a need of a leadership in the high school ministry." And so I said, "Yes." I'm like, it's an open door. So I jumped in. I found myself leading and teaching and learning how to be a pastor while I was still in school playing golf. And like, that was my dream. And the ministry started growing and I was just having a good time. And then, another door opened. I got invited to speak at this New Year's Eve, overnight bash for high school and middle school students with 1,000 kids at it. So they asked me, it's the largest group I've ever spoken in front of, and I was so nervous about it. But it was an open door, and I didn't want to say no. And so I get up there, I'm so nervous, I grab water to drink, and I drink it, and I miss my mouth. And it lands all over the front of my shirt, and just like soaks the front of my shirt. But I don't know, because I'm wearing layers, because I live in Michigan, it's super cold. So like, it's got a big wet spot here, and this whole front section, like all of you guys, you start laughing, and I think I'm killing it right now. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm so good. I'm nailing this. Well, I found out later, nope, I wasn't nailing it. I was just a tool, right? I was just a dork. But like that went well. Somewhere in that season, God just started to press on my heart. He was calling me to be a pastor. And I was just like, I don't want to be a pastor. I want to go play golf. And we argued for 3 years and he won. And right out of college, another open door, a church hired me right out of college to be their youth guy. I was there for 5 years. After 5 years, Melissa and I start feeling like this church might not be home anymore. Just kind of got this unsettled feeling. And we decided to pray about it. And so we prayed the very first night. We had this conversation. We prayed and we just prayed this. It's a very simple prayer of surrender. We said, God, we don't know what you're doing, but we feel like you might be stirring something in us. And this is the key to this prayer. We're on a bed. We're on opposite sides of the bed. We're praying on our knees. And we just said, God, we'll go anywhere and do anything. You just tell us what to do. We'll stay if you want us to stay. We'll go if you want us to go. But we are surrendered to your will. And we meant it. I prayed that every night for 7 nights. Didn't tell anybody we were praying, but God knew. Within that week, two of the largest churches in the Detroit area, out of the blue, call me. And this is how the conversation went with both. Hey, we don't know if you're looking, but we're looking for a high school guy. Your name came up and we got your number. Would you be interested in interviewing? And to both, because we told God we'd go anywhere and do anything, it was a yes. Remember hanging up after that second church, I look at Melissa and I'm like, I think God might be taking us somewhere. And I ended up going to this church called Northridge in Plymouth, Michigan. We had 7 incredible years of ministry there. And then after 7 years of ministry there, another door opened to the promised land here in Orlando. And we came, we've been here ever since. But here's what you need to understand about just what I just told you about open doors. Through every open door, we were surrendered to Jesus and his will for our lives. Through every open door, we had already decided, God, whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. Why would we do that? Because I believed then, and I believe now, that God has a better plan for my life than I do. And I believe that his dreams for my life are bigger than any dreams that I can come up with on my own. And I believe that if he has plans for me and they're good plans and he has dreams for my life and he's going to take me to them, that he's going to give me everything I need to fulfill them and to be right in the center of his will doing what I'm on this planet to do. And I just got to tell you, we have found life to the full. Just listen, I don't want to brag on this. I just want to tell you that throughout the years, and it's not been easy. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a bit. But Melissa and I just believe when Jesus says whoever tries to save their life to find it in this world will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Jesus' sake will find it. We believe that to be true. And we have found life in Jesus Christ, life to the full. Couldn't imagine being anywhere else than right here, doing what I'm doing. And it's the weirdest thing. You asked me my dream for my life when I was a teenager? Nope, not this. But couldn't imagine doing anything else. It's the way God works. And so I'll just say this. This is what I've learned about open doors and God's will. When you are ready to trust God and to follow him wherever he leads you, there will be an open door for you. I don't want to say I guarantee it. But I will just say in my experience and the experience of friends of mine that have done the same thing, when you are ready to follow Jesus wherever he leads and do whatever he calls you to do, there will be an open door for you. And there will be an open door for you to take with God and he will lead you through it. And when God opens a door, it's not random, it's not coincidence, it's God-ordained opportunity for you to have impact. And my hope and prayer is that you will seek God's will with everything that you have and that when he shows you what to do, that you will take it and that you will do it because I believe that God's plans for you are bigger and better than anything you could dream up. I believe his plans and dreams for your life will blow you away And you'll look back someday and go, I cannot believe what God has done through me, through us, through our family. But like I said earlier, as we read for Paul, just because God opens a door doesn't mean it's easy, right? Paul says the door was opened by God, but then there was opposition. So what do we learn? Just because it's an open door doesn't mean it's a smooth path. Like when God opens a door for you to step into something meaningful, don't be surprised if there is pushback. The bigger the opportunity, the greater the opposition. This is where we get confused, and it's very interesting. God opens a door, you step through it, and it's hard. There are obstacles, there's resistance, there's problems, and you start thinking, this must not be God. Like, this is too hard, this is too difficult. Well, let me just tell you, you have an enemy, his name is Satan, and he does not waste his time on people who aren't a threat. You want to step out and follow God into your calling, things that only you can do to move God's kingdom forward, you're going to awaken a little bit of opposition. So if you're feeling opposition, it doesn't mean you're out of God's will. Sometimes it means you're right in the middle of it. God opens doors, but open doesn't mean easy. So I said, you know, Orlando was the promised land. Let me just tell you, the first 3 to 5 years felt like it was the opposite of promised land. It was hard. Second year almost knocked Melissa and I out of ministry. I was literally thinking of what else I could do because I sucked at this. Because it was so difficult and so hard. Yet God gave us all the signs. We're in the right place, but this is difficult. This isn't what I signed up for, God. Why are you letting this happen? Just because God opens the door doesn't mean it's going to be smooth. And we'll get into a little bit of that later. But when God opens doors, sometimes we miss it because we overthink it, right? It's like, is this open door? And we kind of get all weirded out about it. How does God guide us? Sometimes it's just an open door. Second way God guides us, sometimes God works through closed doors. Let me show you this very clearly. Acts 16. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at the time. What does that mean, the Holy Spirit prevented them? We don't know exactly. It could just be very practical, like the road they were on was washed out, they couldn't get through, or their camel broke down, AAA wasn't available, something like that. Like, we don't know what happened. They could have got sick. They might have just, got distracted somehow. All we know is they recognized that God was saying no, and God didn't do it just once. Go to the next verse, verse 7. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of God, of Jesus, did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. They weren't being rebellious. They weren't being selfish. They were trying to preach the gospel. Their motives were pure. And God closed the door and basically said no twice. What does this show us? Something we don't always like, but we desperately need to understand. God's no is still direction. God's no is still direction. Should actually be comforting, because I know myself, right? I'm stubborn. I'm hard-headed. I really do, I'm easy to convince that my plan is the best plan. Like, I can convince myself of that pretty good. But sometimes what I want isn't what God wants. And God says no. God loves me enough to protect me from me. Sometimes that means closing a door. And honestly, I'll speak for all of us. None of us like hearing no, do we? No. But it's comforting to know that we have a loving Father that'll keep us from danger. Like when my kids were little, I didn't let them do everything they wanted to do, because some of the things they wanted to do were dumb and would hurt them. Like, no, you can't stop moving fan blades with your tongue. That's not okay. You're not allowed to do that. That was one of my boys, by the way. No. Well, in the same way, God loves us enough to say no when it's necessary. We never like hearing no, but sometimes, that's how God speaks to us. He closes the door. Let me give you an example. 6 years ago, God gave us this vision to use youth sports to reach people for Christ. Met with the elders. We all prayed about it and really felt like God was saying, hey, there's a big vision here that I want you to pursue. So we started looking for land in the Horizon West area. And what's interesting, about the same time, I met a guy that actually we were looking for 10 acres specifically. I met a guy that lived on Avalon Road and lived on 5 acres. And so as I got to know him, we got to talking. I was telling him about the church and everything, what our vision was. And I'm like, hey, would you be interested in selling your 5 acres? And he was like, yeah, actually I would. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. But I need 10. And he said, I got two neighbors. One has three, one has two. Why don't I talk to them? Let's see if we can work out a deal. So we do all the work. This takes like months. We start talking to those other two neighbors, meet those other two neighbors. We get all three of them all in alignment, ready to go. 10 acres of land, exactly what we were looking for, right on Avalon Road. Like, it was like awesome. And it just felt like God was doing this stuff. He just dropping this property right in our lap. I mean, look at how good this is working out. This is obviously God. Well, we started doing our due diligence on that property, where it was located in this county and in the area that it's in, which is number of miles north of where our property is right now. We started doing our due diligence, and we started finding out that, hey, the county puts incredible restrictions on anything happening in this area of land. In other words, can you do a church there? Yeah, but they're going to limit how much time you can meet. They're going to limit the days you can meet. They're going to come against you. The people aren't going to like this because it's in this area that they don't like this kind of stuff happening, and you will just meet opposition every step of the way, and you'll never be able to fulfill your whole vision on that piece of property. And it was like I did a lot of work to try and figure that out. And it just came down to, okay, we've got a choice to make. We can take the vision, shrink it down, and go, we don't have to do the sports and stuff. Let's just do the church, because we can get a building and 10 acres of land, and we'll just meet a couple times a week, and we'll build the property, and we'll just have a building and everything. We can ditch the other parts of the vision. But we really felt like God was calling us to this bigger vision to do what he was asking us to do. And so we had a choice. It's like this. It was a clear, closed door. We can't do what God's asked us to do on that property. And so we walked away. Back to square one after a year's worth of work. But I will tell you this, that closed door 12 months later led to the 15 acres of land we do have now in Horizon West, where we can do more than we dreamed of doing in the beginning. That closed door got us to this open door. God closed the door and opened a bigger and a better one. And I still can't believe we get to steward this property together. Let me just tell you something, because every now and then I have a conversation when someone says, man, you guys, you have a great piece of land here, Kev. But it's somebody that goes to the church, calls his church home. And I always say back to them, no, we have a great piece of land. This isn't my property. This isn't the church's property. This is our property. Like, we own this. We're stewarding this as a group of people, as a group of believers. It is, this land is your land. This land is mine. That keeps coming to mind. But here's the principle. God can close the wrong doors to get you to the right ones. And if you're walking with him in faith, you trust him to do that. And so somebody needs to hear this right now. The door you wanted, the one that didn't open, might not have been God rejecting you. It might have been God protecting you. That's a journey of faith. You trust God. He knows what he's doing. He has your best interest in mind. And sometimes he closes one door. And it's not a rejection. It's not punishment. It's protection. That's walking in faith. Sometimes when we think we know God's best and God redirects us, you know what he's doing is leading you to a better yes, just kind of like the property. And here's how some of you will know what I mean. Some of you, if you think back on your life, you had this guy or this girl that you wanted to marry back in the day, and you were like, oh, this is God's. Well, this is going to be so good. And it didn't happen. Well, years go by, decades go by, and you look back and you find them online. And you're like, oh, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. But why? Because you're sitting next to your better yes right now. And you know from your experience that God had somebody better. Couldn't see it at the time, but you know it now. That's trusting God. It's like sometimes we miss God's closed doors because we receive it as rejection. We don't understand that sometimes it's just protection, because God's getting you to a better yes. So how does God guide us? He guides us through open doors. He guides us through closed doors. And sometimes God just gives you everyday choices. Just gives you everyday choices. Like, literally, he just lets you choose. Doesn't always give you a sign. Sometimes he just gives you a choice. Again, watch the Apostle Paul. He describes how he moved from one place to another. And he didn't say in this, he didn't say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He just said in 1 Corinthians 16:5, said, I'm coming to visit you after I've been to Macedonia, for I'm planning to travel through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay with you a while, possibly all winter, and then you can send me on my way to my next destination. This time, I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while if the Lord will let me. Here's what that shows us. When you're living in the moral will of God and you're just loving people, you're pursuing holiness, you're following Jesus, you're under his sovereign will, sometimes within that, God just says, you choose. Dealer's choice. Which way do you want to go? Paul, stay short or stay long. Whatever you choose, it's okay. I'm going to bless you either way. It's like a good father that's just saying, I trust you. You want to move? Choose. You want to take this job or that job? I'm more concerned with your character than I am your title. You want to serve in Crossline Kids or Crossline Tech Team? Either way, you're not gonna miss out on what God has for you because you are serving to honor him. You're serving to follow him. And I'll tell you, when I face decisions like that, where I don't feel a clear sense of one over the other, I have learned to just ask God for a sense of peace, towards the direction that he wants me to go. I call it the path of peace, and I'll just give you a quick story. In high school, I wanted to play golf in college. I had a good junior, senior year, and it just kind of started wanting what God wanted for my life over what I wanted. And so I talked to two colleges that gave me the same offer. One was Oakland University in Michigan, and the other one was Stephen F. Austin in Texas. So I grew up in Texas. So Stephen F. Austin was close. Michigan was really far. They both coaches said the same thing. They said, hey, we don't have any money to give you. We can't offer you a scholarship, but we can offer you a preferred walk-on status to where if you come and try out and you make the team, we'll give you money the next four. Both said the same thing. It was identical conversation with both coaches. Schools are about the same size. One's in Texas, one's in Michigan. And I am freaking out. I put the decision off to 3 days before I have to get in a car and leave. I'm living with my grandma. I don't really have parents to help me process through this. My grandma is literally asleep at 6:30 p.m. every night on her couch and sleeps all the way to the next morning. And she's not kind of really available to help me. And I'm on my own trying to figure out what to do with my life and whether to leave Texas and go far away from home or stay in Texas not too far from where I grew up. Well, I'm freaking out 3 days before. I want to know what God wants me to do because I don't want to screw this decision up. And so I'm very spiritual at the time, and I deploy the drop and flop method of finding out what God wants you to do. I took my Bible. I dropped it on the bed. Wherever it flopped open, I read whatever was there. So that's what I do. Drop, flop. I read this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to read it to you because it has been a guiding verse for my life since I was 17 years old, and it was this. So again, I just told you how stressed I am. I don't know what to do. I have nobody helping me with this decision. Philippians 4:6. First thing I read, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. And that's like, all I'm doing is worrying. Pray about everything. Then he gives instructions on how to pray. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he has done. Okay, I can do that. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I did exactly that. I told God what I needed. I need to know what to do. And God, thank you for the opportunity to even go to college. And I will just tell you, when I did that, it worked, and a supernatural sense of peace washed over me. And I don't know how to describe it other than I had peace that God was in wherever it was going to walk through this with me, but I still had no clue where to go. He didn't tell me where to go. He just gave me peace. So now I'm sitting there, and I'm happy, I'm peaceful, but I still don't know what to do. So I really want to know. The next day, I'm going, okay, like I don't want to screw this decision up. And it felt like I could choose either one. Like God was just like, hey, wherever you want to go. But I wanted a little bit of an edge. I wanted to still know. So this next day, I just go, God, would you please just give me just a path of peace? Would you give me just a little more peace? If there's one that's better than the other, would you just give me a little more peace towards one over the other? Like, just let me know. Because it feels like both are okay. Just give me a little more peace if one's better or if one's just going to work out okay. And what's really interesting, and this doesn't happen every time, there's two choices. God, over the next 2 days, just gave me a little more peace about going to Oakland University. Can't describe it to you other than just when I kept weighing the two options, I just had a little more peace. What's interesting, I had both. I had peace for both. But I just had a little more leaning towards Oakland. So I got in my car and I left 2 days later. Ever since then, when I have a couple of choices and it feels like God is like, you choose, I'm always praying and asking God, just give me a path of peace. Like, where do you want me? Give me a path of peace. Sometimes both are still peaceful and I just choose one and it works out fine. But other times God will lean me in one way or the other because I'm like, God, I know you have a path for me. God will do that for you. Now you might say, okay, great. I'm going to trust God for the next step, but what if I get it wrong, right? Because they're still like, what if you make the wrong choice? What if it was a Taco Bell you ate last night too late that's talking to you the next day and you make a poor choice? What if you mess it up? Well, here's good news. Here's what Paul says, Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united in Christ, we've received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. And watch this. Under his sovereign, unstoppable will, he makes everything work out according to his plan. Even if you screw it up, That's how good God is. He'll still make it good. There's still good in your future. He works in all things, the open doors, the closed doors, the right decisions, the decisions you wish you could redo. His will is so unstoppable that he works everything together for the good of those who love him. And maybe you want a whole map. Maybe you're like, God, show me the whole picture. You know what God says he'll give you in his word? A lamp. He'll give you a lamp. Scripture says it this way, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what God's word does? It directs your steps. God's word is a lamp unto your feet. It doesn't say it's a spotlight to the whole map. What does God give you through his word? The next step. The next step. What's a lamp going to give you? It's a path to my feet. It's going to give you a step, maybe two. That's it. That's why it's a faith journey. But God, I want to see steps 7, 8, and 9. Like, give me 7, 8, give me the 5-year plan. Give me the blueprint. I need to know every little detail. If I'm going to do this, I need all that. Well, you know what God's going to say to you? He's going to say, oh, you know, if you want step 7, 8, 9, you got to do 1, 2, 3 and 4, 5, and 6. Then I'll give you step 7. Because that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. God doesn't need to show you the whole picture. You can trust him and simply take a next step. He's good. He's a good God. He loves you. Paul said, for we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We trust in the Lord. He directs our steps. I don't have to know it all because I trust my Father in heaven, and I don't have to have a 1, 2, 3. I just need a 1. I just believe that God will direct my next step. And this is where you don't have to be certain to be faithful. You don't. Because when you say yes to a decision that God's asking you to make, you're not choosing an option. You're actually choosing to trust God. We just have to be willing to say yes when he shows us that next step. And I totally failed at this last service, so I'm going to give you guys a pass. But if any of you know this, raise your hand before I give you the end, okay? So I said something week one. I said it a few times, but it's been 2 weeks since then. I know a lot of life has passed. But when God gives you his will, he does not give it to you for consideration. He gives it to you for, anybody know what I said? Oh, somebody whispered it. Participation. Who was that? Oh, you cheater. Okay, that was Shay. That's okay. Thank you, Shay. I feel better now. At least one person knew. Dude, okay, 9:15, they bombed at that. Like, it was so bad. I'm like, I'm the worst teacher in the world. I'm like, okay, my pride. You know, but it's like, no, when God shows you his will, he's given it to you not for you to consider it against everything else that that you want to do. He's given it to you for you to participate in it with him. That's the invitation. It's participate, not consideration. It's participation. Because when it comes to God's personal will for your life, he will guide you through open doors, through closed doors, through everyday choices. And if you're listening and you're willing to do what he says, you are going to find yourself in a sweet spot in life someday that you're going to look back and go, I cannot believe what God has done through me. Now, let's talk application real quick. By the way, I just gave you the answers to the test next week so you can get that question right, okay? Participation, people. I'm going to ask you next week. Answer loud and proud. Okay, everybody got it? You guys good? Okay, we'll do that next week. We'll see how well you do, and then I'll feel better about myself. So let's talk application real quick. How do I know if what I'm hearing from God is actually from God? How can I tell? How do you figure out that the open door and the closed door, the path of peace, how do you kind of discern that? Well, there's a few questions you need to ask yourself. The first is this. Is this aligned with what God has already made clear in Scripture? So here's a question you can ask yourself. Is this aligned with what God has already made clear in Scripture? Does it align with his word? I read this article. This is like 8-10 years ago. This lady actually in this article, because they were asking about her career, her comments were, I believe God told me I needed to be a stripper. And that's what she was doing with her life. And I was like, no, he didn't. Like, that is not what he's telling you to do. Whatever he's telling you to do, it'll be in alignment with his word. Second question, am I walking in obedience in the areas that are already clear? Am I living in the moral will of God? Am I doing what he's asked me to do, living the way he's asked me to live? Am I in the center of his moral will? The third question, is this door actually open or am I trying to force it? And that's a real question you need to ask. Am I trying to force it because it's what I want? And then the last question is this hard because it's refining me, or is it hard because God's redirecting me? It's a question you got to ask. Like for me, year 2, 3 of coming down here to Florida, it was a toss up for a while. It's like, is God refining me or is he redirecting me? Because it was so difficult. You got to ask that with why things are hard when opposition comes. So there's just kind of a process. This week, you can start with prayer. God, show me what you want me to do. Open doors, close doors, give me choices, whatever it is, like let me know. And then you ask these questions. When you hear it from God, he tells you what to do. And then you take a step. And I'll just tell you this. What we want to be here is we want to be a place that builds steady families in a really shaky world. That's who we want to be. We want to be a place that produces families that are pursuing God's will for their life. That's our dream. And I just want you to imagine with me homes, your home, where decisions don't produce panic. Imagine your home where you can make decisions in peace instead of panic. Imagine your home in homes where difficulty strengthens your faith instead of shakes it. Imagine that if in your home when difficulty happened, it drew you closer to God, where you interpreted closed doors as care, not punishment. You parents, imagine your kids watching you walk through uncertainty without spiraling. Imagine if they saw you enter into uncertainty and go to Jesus and seek his will. And they watched you pray. They watched you seek wisdom. They watched you move forward without any guarantees, but just trusting God with that next step. And I'll just tell you, when families learn the discernment of God's will, anxiety decreases, and when anxiety decreases, peace starts becoming visible. And you can have a peaceful home. And I'll tell you, a church full of steady families in our chaotic world is a lighthouse for those living in the dark right now. It's like we don't need perfect certainty. We just need faithful trust in the one who has our best interest in mind and always will. It's like, I want you and I want your family, and God wants you and God wants your family in the center of his will, because when you are there, it is the absolute best place for you to be. And for some of you, being in the center of his will starts with you accepting Jesus right now. You want to know what your next step is? Step across the line of faith. Let's pray. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? If you today are trusting Jesus for the first time, I want to invite you to pray with me. Just make my words yours. It's kind of the posture of your heart that matters. But you can borrow my words and just say something like, Jesus, I need you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. I turn from my old life. I place my trust in you. Forgive me. Make me new. Be my Savior and my King. I give you my life. I submit to your will. And Father, for the rest of us in this room, I pray that today might be a day of surrender, where we just surrender our will for yours, where we truly want and desire what you want for us more than what we want. And Lord, that is a faith journey. Would you help us to just trust you in the small things so it can lead to us trusting you in the big things? I thank you that you have a journey planned out for each one of us. You have a plan and a ministry and an area of impact that is solely and specifically for us. Lord, would you guide each one of us to that? Whatever that is, would you guide us there and use us to make a difference for eternity? In your holy name, amen. We're going to close our service with a couple of songs, but one of the things we do every series is we want to receive communion. And communion is for believers to remember what Jesus did. Jesus gathered.